The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. Go to BubbleGenius.com and pick up their Soft Serve Suds Ice Cream Cone Soap. Serve up some ice cream with their 5-inch swirly cone soap in sweet vanilla. It looks exactly like a soft serve ice cream cone and smells delicious too. Only $7 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
I'm old. I have arthritis in my hips and my feet, and I can't walk down my stairs no more. I tried those stair chair contraptions, but they aggravate my prostrate. I don't know what to do.
Don't worry, old-timer. From the makers of the stair chair comes the patented Bill O'Reilly Neck Lift, the easy electronic way to get up and down the stairs.
Oh, I love Bill O'Reilly's television program. Help me get down my stairs, Bill O'Reilly Neck Lift.
Just clamp the durable space-age cervical loop around your neck until it's tight and cozy. And don't forget to click the no-escape locking mechanism. And you're all set. Now press the go button on the no-spin zone control pad and let the Bill O'Reilly Neck Lift glide you down the stairs. Amazing!
I can't feel my lower extremities no more. F*** you, Bill O'Reilly Necklift.
Right you are.
I'm medical Dr. Jackman. I recommend the Bill O'Reilly Necklift to all my patients in exchange for an ample kickback.
We've demonstrated how the Bill O'Reilly Necklift can safely carry you down the stairs, but...
What if I want to go up the stairs, too?
The Bill O'Reilly Necklift does that, too.
Oh, my name is Gladys Del Vecchio, and I need help going up the stairs. But I can't afford a fancy stair chair like on the television. What am I to do?
Just clamp the durable space-age cervical loop around your neck. And don't forget to click the no-escape locking mechanism. And you're all set. Now press the go button on the no-spin zone control pad and let the Bill O'Reilly neck lift glide you up the stairs. Stupendous!
I'm gonna sue you until your bleeds.
It's the Bill O'Reilly neck lift. Order today by calling 1-800-NECKLIFT and leave off the last T for, hey, MF-er, I want more iced tea. Call now! The Bill O'Reilly Necklift is not responsible for catastrophic spinal cord injuries, decapitations, crushed larynxes, broken bones, impacted vertebrae, dislocated skulls, or neck rug burns. Bill O'Reilly, The O'Reilly Factor, The Factor for Kids, and parent company Fox News Channel don't give a shit about you or your stupid neck.
The best music on the best station.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
It is Tuesday, June 14, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob, that's Chez right there.
Hey there.
Hi. We're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. As always, if you need free legal advice, go to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez or just click that link on the podcast page. You can't miss it. Okay, going to jump right in here and talk about Orlando. I think most of the show is going to be about Orlando. I think that makes sense.
I really hope that we're at least throwing in the new Bloomberg poll somewhere.
The new Bloomberg poll that shows what exactly?
Did you see it?
I haven't seen it yet. No, I haven't seen
brand
it.
Brand new, just released today. The new Bloomberg poll has Clinton leading Trump by 49-37. 55% of the likely voters that they interviewed said they will not, under any circumstances, vote for Donald Trump.
You know, I did see that. I saw that, and wow. And, yeah, you know, going to what we were saying last week, it's quite clear that there's nothing in Donald Trump's arsenal that will help him recover from something like this. There's no event. It would have to be either Hillary Clinton imploding or I don't know what. I don't know what would actually make up that difference with Donald Trump. Because certainly, I think one of the things he was banking on was in the wake of Orlando, he could turn this in, and of course the Republicans are doing this, turning this into a war on terror thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that Oh, obviously, because we're talking about ISIS and terrorism, that's going to help the Republican candidate.
Yeah. I mean, it's we're putting the cart before the horse here, but there's no doubt about the fact, you know, I wrote a whole long thing on it yesterday. There's no doubt about the fact that the presidential candidate response is incredibly important here, and that Donald Trump has spent 48 hours just f***ing himself royally.
Yeah, really has.
Botching it in every way humanly possible.
I mean, is there anybody who's backing Donald Trump at this point besides Bill O'Reilly? I can't think of anyone who would say, you know what, Donald Trump's response to Orlando, perfect, spot on, flawless.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like tone deaf. I mean, you listed through a bunch of adjectives in your article about Trump as the American nightmare and just, I mean, megalomania. I mean, on down the list of everything that this guy has done since Saturday night on through the weekend, as people are grieving, as people are mourning, this guy decided to go on Twitter, of all places, Twitter, the most appropriate place for a presidential candidate to weigh in and release a statement on a news event that is ongoing, and with names not even released yet, he's talking about, well, I called it.
Yeah, he's congratulating himself.
Yeah.
But again, I know we're putting the cart before the horse. We can probably come back to that. But
well, I mean, that actually...
At least that's some good news right off the bat. That's some good news.
And you can't talk about this without talking about political reactions to it. It's just, it's one of those things. They're bound together. And, you know, I say this every time. And I feel like something this time is going to set us apart from all of those previous events. I feel like something's moving in the right direction this time around. I feel like maybe something's going to happen. Maybe there's going to be some positive change to come out of this. Insert adjective here. The worst gun massacre in American history, perpetrated by one guy, again with an AR-15.
Of course.
And I mean, it's almost predictable now. I mean, you almost go through and you go, you know, I saw the news story Sunday morning and I sat there and went, wonder if it was an AR-15.
Of course it was. Because sure enough, if you're setting out to do something like this, that's the gun you buy.
Right.
Yeah, that is now the gun of mass casualty incidents.
Right.
That's the gun that makes you feel like a man. So you can go in and blow a bunch of people away.
For $700, you can walk into just about any gun store, any department store that sells guns, and buy an AR-15. Yeah. It looks like it's something out of a movie. It looks like something for people who like to pretend they're in the military and who really aren't.
Yeah, congratulations, you're now playing Call of Duty for real.
We've talked about this many, many times, that it's Call of Duty. It's the idea of having this piece of hardware in your hands is very attractive.
And I'll tell you a secret, because I know people who own these, who own AR-15s.
Yeah.
And They are quote unquote responsible gun owners. They've never, you know, they're good guys with guns. They've never done anything wrong. But the attitude that they have is exactly the same as people who do this. They post pictures of them on Facebook.
Right.
They post pictures of themselves holding them. They get responses from other guys like, "Whoa, that's a beauty," you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
It is a symbol of just power. Power like you can't imagine to hold a weapon like that.
I mean, the one word that I keep going back to in everything I've written so far about Orlando has been hobbyist. I mean, in a lot of these cases, what we're talking about are people who are vigorously defending their right to a hobby. That's where the Second Amendment comes in. The Second Amendment comes in with people who want to defend their little weekend enthusiasm. You know, their little fetish for firearms, things that go boom, things that look cool in your hand, things that look like they're yanked right out of a movie, you know, out of a, as you said, out of a Call of Duty game. Yeah. And that's what we're talking about here anymore. It's not really about self-defense. I mean, how often have we heard, that attacker was thwarted in that home invasion with an AR-15?
Self-defense is a argument. It's a complete argument. You don't use an AR-15 for self-defense.
Right.
You use, you know what? You use a handgun. Actually, what you probably use if you're really interested in home defense is you use a shotgun.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because it doesn't really require you to aim.
Of course. And, you know, what we've seen statistically is revolvers and shotguns are the weapons used least often in mass shootings. Yeah. The weapons we see most often are semi-automatic handguns. That's number one. Second, rifles. And then the other types of firearms that are a little more cumbersome, a little more difficult to use, obviously they don't fire as often, you know, are the revolvers and the shotguns. And so this is something that goes beyond the firearm itself, of course. And I don't want to spend a lot of time dwelling on the gun control aspect of all of this, mm-hmm. but it's something that we kind of have to talk about. And what I've observed over the last several days now are Republicans, conservatives, pro-gun people, trolls, and politicians alike who are just running out of good arguments to defend themselves with. This is becoming just a mess. I mean, we've heard this. I mean, the nature of this shooting puts Republicans in such a difficult spot, and thank God for it. I mean, if there's something...
Yeah, as soon as I heard the details of this, I'm like, this is the ultimate conservative conundrum.
Oh, yeah, totally, totally.
And it involves gay people, which they don't care about.
That's right.
But it involves Muslims also, mm-hmm. and, you know, potential terrorism, which, by the way, the more time goes by, the more I like to believe that I'm not the only one willing to say this. The more I think the terrorism angle is...
Yeah, it is.
It really is. This was not an act of terrorism.
No. It's a guy who, you know, it's like saying, I'm a Hollywood director because I called a studio and pitched a movie last week.
Yeah. This is someone who used ISIS and used the fear of ISIS and the fear of Islamic terrorism in general, since he also apparently at one point preached a loyalty to Hezbollah, which mm-hmm. is a group that's against ISIS.
Right.
This is just, you know, someone who happens to be Muslim from Middle Eastern heritage, because he's a local, he's American.
Yep.
But Middle Eastern heritage kind of uses that to both scare and to sort of give his acts more impact. And if it turns out that he really was gay, then that more than anything else is a denial of a way for him to deny his self-loathing.
And it's this terrorist connection and the connection to the war on terror, at least in the eyes of Republicans, that's primarily, it's one of the many things actually that's got them all twisted around. Because, I was watching the clip of Bill O'Reilly on the Colbert Report last night, and just seeing Stephen Colbert, it just utterly exasperated. Just, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when Stephen Colbert would get exasperated with a guest back in the old days of the Colbert Report, he always had something biting and improvised to come up with to nail that person. But this, you could tell, he was just, because he didn't do any open, didn't do a monologue, delivered a brief set of remarks about Orlando, and then brought out Bill O'Reilly, of all people. And they sat and talked, and Bill O'Reilly not only backstopped Donald Trump, but then went on to say, what we need to do is to declare war on ISIS, to actually have a congressional declaration of war, and then to attack ISIS in response with it. Chris Christie then today said we should bomb something in response to Orlando. Yeah. That'll
he
go
said
over.
He said that we should attack where this guy came from, which
right.
is like, you're going to bomb Port St. Lucie, Florida, or New York?
Unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other angle. The fact that Donald Trump played up this guy's Afghanistan roots, yeah. in the same way he played up Judge Curiel's Mexican heritage, you know, summarily throwing that in there as being a factor, when indeed, you know, it may have been some sort of, you know, hanger-on kind of poser connection there. But I don't see any definitive connection, really, that we're aware of at this point between the shooter and between ISIS. But the ISIS angle completely screws the Republicans in terms of what they've been talking about with regard to guns and with regard to the war on terror. And there are numerous ways in which this this kind of undermines everything they've been saying. And one of the things is that what Bill O'Reilly was saying on the Colbert Report was that we should attack ISIS. And then Colbert said, first of all, I should say that we are attacking ISIS. I mean, let's be perfectly clear about that. I'm just throwing that in there.
Of course.
We are basically in a shooting war against ISIS in the Middle East. Make no mistake. But Bill O'Reilly says what Bill O'Reilly says. And so Colbert was like, well, you know, we're never going to eliminate through bombs and missiles and through bullets. We're never going to eliminate the ideology that incites ISIS fighters to do what they're doing. And Bill O'Reilly said something that I found, I mean, completely and utterly frustrating. And if I was John Kerry, I would have thrown something at my television if I had been watching Bill O'Reilly saying this. Bill O'Reilly basically said, well, what we can do is we're never going to eliminate terrorism. We can just reduce it down to the point where it's manageable. Hmm. You remember who said that last? John Kerry said that in 2004. And it was one of maybe two things that cost him the goddamn election. It was the 83 million I was for it, or 83 billion, I forget what the number was. I was for it before, I was against it. And then it was when John Kerry said, we want to reduce terrorism down to the point where it's basically a law enforcement issue, where it's not impacting our daily lives in such a horrifying way. And that's exactly what Bill O'Reilly said on the Colbert Report, not on the Colbert Report, on the Late Show last night. Yeah. And I said, good effing Lord, this guy. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And so he also basically made a case for banning assault weapons. And I'll tell you exactly how. Because he said, we're going to reduce terrorism down to the point where we're never going to eliminate terrorism. We're just going to reduce it down to the point where it's manageable. That's the whole idea behind gun bans. That's the whole idea behind an assault weapons ban. You're never going to eliminate gun violence across the board. It's never going to be reduced to zero. Even in the lowest gun violent nation, as far as the list of peer nations of the United States, Australia, there's still gun violence there, even though they have tight gun laws, including an assault weapons ban. And so it's never going to drop down to zero. And so the argument that we should attack ISIS, but we're never going to completely eliminate it, is the same argument we've been making in support of assault weapon bans. And so when people argue that, you're going to eliminate the assault weapons and you're going to ban them and confiscate them or whatever the hell you're going to do, well, the crooks are still going to get them, and there's still going to be gun violence with people who just get them, some other way. But the idea is to reduce it down to the point where we're not going through what Colbert last night referred to quite aptly, and we've run pieces on the Daily Banter to this effect too, where, you know, it's the same script every time. Where this happens and we have to run through all the same talking points and look at it with the different sides of the argument and back and forth. I feel like this time around, the script is shifting a little bit toward something reasonable. The Democrats today in Congress interrupted Paul Ryan. They're trying to, we're voting on a bill, and the Democrats kept chanting, where's the bill, where's the bill, where's the bill, looking for some sort of legislation to address what happened in Orlando. And that, that to me indicates something's moving out there. And I hope that my optimism on this is well-placed, though I tend to be more cynical about it. And I know you are too, Chez, in terms of what can happen coming out of something like this. Not only are we grappling how to make sense of this from a personal level, from seeing good people, innocent people, gunned down in the prime of their lives. Most of these guys and women were in their 20s, for God's sake. They're basically kids. And they were gunned down just out there having fun with their friends and their loved ones, and that's it. And that's it. And whatever the motivation was of this guy, that's part of the discussion. The weapon that he used is part of the discussion. The reason he did it is all part of the discussion. We can't unlink all of these things and say, well, it's just ISIS. Let's go to war against ISIS.
That's all the Republicans have.
Right.
Is, well, we're just going to, hit it with a hammer.
Exactly.
We're going to go to war against ISIS.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to get into to Trump's horrifying response and talk more about other angles. It's not just going to be Trump. We're going to cover this, but I think I'd like to cover this in a way that's a little less structured than what we normally do, where we can just sort of vent and get everything out there and just say what's on our minds and hopefully reflect what's on your mind listening at home too. So quick break, back right after this.
Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our brand new Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon? It's not a Dan Bedondi mispronunciation of the word patriot. It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll add more shows every week, eventually every weekday. Plus, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content, like post-mortem shows, not unlike Bill Maher's overtime segments, memberships to the After Party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. F***ing awesome. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Let's do this thing.
Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Welcome back to today's show.
I may not always love you.
I finally, just on a completely unrelated night, I finally saw Love and Mercy the other night.
Brian Wilson.
Really great. You haven't seen it?
I have not.
So okay. Sure. Really good movie. I have one gripe. I mean, it was an outstanding, maybe one of the best musical biopics I've ever seen. But one small gripe. Every time John Cusack came on screen, I kept wishing it was Paul Dano. Same performance, same lines, everything. I just kept wishing that his face was Paul Dano's face because it just made more sense. Paul Dano played the younger Brian Wilson. John Cusack played older Brian Wilson. So that's that side note there. Okay, so first of all, Donald Trump's response was to pat himself on the back for calling it. Good guy. Always the best words, isn't he? Yeah. And then he, what did he do? He blamed Barack Obama.
Yeah, he basically insinuated that Barack Obama was a terrorist sympathizer. The same crap he did back in 2011.
And you wrote one of the best pieces I've seen about Trump's reaction to what happened in Orlando. Walk us through this. Trump, he has basically, in his reaction to Orlando, defined exactly why he should never be president. All the reasons why he's completely incompetent, not only as a presidential candidate, but as a public figure. Just someone who is completely and utterly loathsome. Is that a correct assessment?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I mean, the sort of beautiful thing about it, and it really was in some ways kind of beautiful. He didn't just let us know, like you said, he didn't let us know, just let us know that he is absolutely not, like Hillary Clinton says, temperamentally unfit to be president of the United States,
right,
to be dog catcher for that matter. Mm-hmm. He just spelled out every single reason why. I mean, his initial response was a humble brag, yep, was megalomania, to pat himself on the back, and self-promotion, self-aggrandizement. Second thing he did was put forth a conspiracy theory about Barack Obama,
yep,
you know, an Alex Jones style conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Just he said, what did he say? Look, we're led by a man that either is not tough, not smart, or he's got something else in mind. And the something else in mind, you know, people can't believe it. They cannot believe that President Obama is acting the way he acts and can't even mention the words radical Islamic terrorism. There's something going on. It's inconceivable. There's something going on.
Yeah, that's it.
That's Donald Trump said.
That's such a wonderfully Trumpian quote because, you know, the repetition.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most beautiful thing about every single thing that he says. you know, and then he follows Jesus that up, Christ. That absolute insanity.
Uh-huh.
That it's just staggering to hear something like that coming from a major party nominee for president of the United States, presumptive nominee,
yep,
follows that up with this big speech with teleprompters and everything, You know, so he's not pulling it out of his ass. He's actually, you know, he actually wrote this out where he talks again. He doubles down on the idea of a Muslim travel ban and immigration ban.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Which is just unthinkable.
Yeah,
just absolutely. So completely un-American and unthinkable.
It really is unthinkable. And you believe that. You know, this guy thinks that doing that is going to somehow thwart terrorist attacks on American soil, even though, again, it's the Judge Curiel thing. It doesn't matter. The shooter, whose name I don't want to mention on the show, the shooter, it was from New York, for God's sake. He's an American-born American citizen from New York. His parents happen to be immigrants from Afghanistan, but he was born in the United States.
Yeah.
How would this have stopped? Nothing
Trump says would have stopped this.
Meanwhile, and then here's the other thing that's connected to all of this. They're making such a big deal, led by Donald Trump, over radical Islamic terrorism, over the ISIS connection, the very thin ISIS connection here. And then completely forgetting that the Republican Party, for which this guy, Donald Trump, is the nominee, voted against keeping firearms out of the hands of suspected terrorists inside the United States.
Yep.
That is undeniably contradictory. That speaks
volumes. Yeah. It just tells you what's most important to them.
I mean,
making sure that everyone has a gun, no matter who you are.
That's right. And we're supposed to bomb. We're supposed to incorporate NATO into a war declaration against ISIS. Go over there and start bombing ISIS. Meanwhile, that same party, the party of Chris Christie, the party of Bill O'Reilly, the party of Donald Trump, saying that, oh, you know what? If you're a suspected terrorist inside the United States, if you're on the federal watch list, go ahead and buy a gun. Go ahead. Second Amendment and all. And these are the people who stop at nothing to tell the victims of Orlando that they're not allowed to get married, that they're not allowed to, in some cases, they're not even allowed to have sex with each other.
Yeah.
You know, the contradictions are a mile long.
Maybe you're right. There is something about this time, and I could be so wrong. You know, I could be in my own little bubble. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
But there is something about this time that feels different.
Yeah,
that feels like it's just fucking terrible news.
Yeah.
For conservatives.
Right.
For these people who have been doing, you know, hammering home this crap for so long.
They've got part of the problem is they've got no leadership. They have no standard bearer here. There's no one to lead the way on this. There are two people leading the way, as far as I can tell right now, publicly. And that is Donald Trump and, weirdly, effing Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Alex Jones is so on top of all of this. Not in a good way. Not in a good way. We maybe we'll get to some audio of Alex Jones later on. But, you know, these are the two nutbags that are in charge right now.
Yeah. I mean, this is just the way I see it. And I think that might be it. I think it might be the fact that the de facto leader of the party is Donald Trump. But this just seems to me like absolutely devastating news for the Republicans.
Right.
And, you know, by the way, the final thing that Donald Trump did late yesterday was the final little shot he fired was to pull the press credentials of the Washington Post, because the Washington Post had dared to print a story that said that Donald Trump basically tied Barack Obama to Orlando. And he was so upset with that, and he called them dishonest and sleazy and whatever the hell else, phony. He called them phony for some stupid fucking reason.
Right.
That he pulled their press credentials. And he's going to war. He's already going to go to war with Jeff Bezos. That's fine. Mm. But he's going to war with Marty Baron.
Yeah. Did you see?
Which is the worst idea humanly possible.
Did you see Charlie Pierce's headline today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to war with the editor who was featured in Spotlight.
Right.
Who was the editor of the Boston Globe during that investigation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's worked for the Miami Herald. He works for the Post now. Marty Baron is probably the single, after Ben Bradley, probably the single most stand-up newspaper editor that's ever been.
Yeah, he was the Liv Schreiber character in Spotlight.
Yeah, I mean, just an astonishingly above the board guy, and a guy who doesn't take any. He's absolutely the wrong person to provoke.
Here's the statement from Marty Baron. Donald Trump's decision to revoke the Washington Post's press credentials is nothing less than a repudiation of the role of a free and independent press, Baron wrote in a statement. When coverage doesn't correspond to what the candidate wants it to be, then a news organization is banished. The Post will continue to cover Donald Trump as it has all along, honorably, honestly, accurately, energetically, and unflinchingly. We are proud of our coverage, and we're going to keep at it. Yeah, that's exactly the right response. And, you know, the Washington Post, quite frankly, though, as we've discussed on several occasions so far, Washington Post is not going to be, they're not the first, and they're not going to be the last.
No.
Donald Trump, the only people covering Donald Trump, eventually, it's going to be like Newsmax and InfoWars.
Yeah, and Fox News. Well, but Fox even News. Fox News, some people on Fox News have turned against him. But still, Fox will be the only outlet that will give him, and I won't say a fair shake, but the only outlet that will cover him the way he wants to be covered.
Yeah.
Everyone else will be adversarial. Yep. I mean, CNN has already done it. Dude, Jake Tapper's response to his comment about Obama was unbelievable. I mean, Tapper was genuinely shocked.
Yeah.
He said on the air, he said, is this really what Donald Trump was saying? He's like, I almost want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but yeah, if this is what he was saying, that is offensive and crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And CNN, by the way, has been on fire. Let's give credit where credit is due.
Sure, absolutely.
Andrew Cuomo went after Rudy Giuliani today. Chris Cuomo. Why do I keep doing that? Oh, there are too many Cuomos. Let's reduce the number of Cuomos.
And freaking just bow before Anderson.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
Anderson Cooper has just been.
Yeah.
He ripped apart Pam Bondi today.
Mm-hmm.
Who deserves it, by the way. And his reading last night of the names of the victims was just. Oh my God!
It was like nothing
I've ever seen in cable news.
Yeah, in fact, for those of you who are subscribed on Patreon, stick with us through all the way to the end of the postmortem show, because we're going to be playing that audio of Anderson Cooper reading the names. I figure we should have the list of names on this show in some way, and there's no one better at this point in time than Anderson Cooper to read those names. So we've got that audio, and then so that'll be at the very end. If you continuously listen on through, if you're listening to the Not Safe for Work commercial free version of the show, keep listening, because at the end of the theme song at the end, then we segue as always right into the postmortem show, and then that'll be at the end of that. So it'll be one big long chunk there. Okay, so when we come back, we're gonna take a short break. When we come back, we're going to not only this is another thing that gives me an idea of maybe there's some change happening. Gretchen Carlson delivered a short monologue on Fox News Channel today. Yeah. Believe it or not, in support of an assault weapons ban. We're going to have that audio right after this. Hello, Bob here. Last year, I discovered tweaked audio for the greatest earbuds ever, and I can honestly say I'm totally spoiled now. I can't imagine using anything else. They're quite literally the finest earbuds available. Go now to our website, bobsesca.com, and click the banner for tweaked audio for the best in earbuds and earphones. Tweaked audio is about comfort and quality for every ear in a variety of colors, including natural wood grain. They come with a lifetime warranty and free shipping to anywhere in the world. And Tweaked Audio's earbuds and earphones will work with all of your devices. Available in mic'd or unmic'd versions, they're designed to reduce outside noise, and they're perfect for both music and talk. Hear us and everything better with Tweaked Audio earbuds. You'll like the prices, too. And if you use the code BANC, that's BANDC, at checkout, you'll save 30% off the listed price. Nearly one-third off on comfortable quality earbuds, warranted for life with free shipping anywhere. Use the code BANDC to save big on quality earbuds. Just click the banner for Tweaked Audio at bobsesca.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSesca.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our logo, just our link, just beneath the logo at BobSesca.com. Second week in a row I've done that. And we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing and helps support the show. Thank you. Okay, so Donald Trump today accused Barack Obama of prioritizing the enemy over the American people after Obama delivered a scathing critique of the presumptive GOP nominee's counterterrorism proposal. which is great. The president went right at the Republicans and Trump over the whole radical Islamic terrorism thing today, mentioning at least five times.
Yeah.
I think Tommy Christopher had the video on the Daily Banter. Trump said, in an emailed statement to the Associated Press, Trump charged that Obama claims to know our enemy, and yet he continues to prioritize our enemies over our allies, and for that matter, the American people. Then he said, when I am president, it will always be America first. Of course,
there it is.
Of course it is.
America first.
America first. Always got to get the branding in there, right? When you're talking about the biggest gun massacre in the history of the United States. Uh-huh. All right. You know what? I was thinking about this today, and another thing that took me back to the early 2000s, which was, you remember right after 9/11, the 2-3 days after 9/11, all of the Democrats lining up to criticize George W. Bush? I don't remember that. Do you? I don't. But yet it's okay. It's okay in the aftermath of this, in the aftermath of Orlando, to immediately go after the president and not only criticize the way the president handled the war on terror, which is only a secondary thing in this whole discussion, but then to actually suggest that he's part of a conspiracy that allowed it to occur, which is what Donald Trump is saying and which his yappy dog Alex Jones is saying on InfoWars. They're both saying it just in different ways. Alex Jones described it as a false flag. There was also that. Did you watch the video? Ashby from the blog
yes.
sent us yeah. the link to the yeah. video of Alex Jones just going bananas on his show. I think he was doing a comedy bit or something where he ripped off his shirt. Which, you know, if a day goes by and I don't get to see Alex Jones's nipples, that's a day wasted, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, so. I don't ever want to see Alex Jones shirtless ever under right. any circumstances.
All right. So moving along here. So let's see. Gretchen Carlson, again, another thing that kind of surprised me and is leading me to be a little bit hopeful in light of everything that's been going on, which, God, I'm still wrapping my head around the idea of men and women in this nightclub having maybe the time of their lives. Most of them, we can only assume it's a nightclub. They're having fun.
Yeah.
And then just the description of what happened and how it happened, where there was one witness who said that the gunshots almost seemed like they were part of the music. Yeah. They were popping off almost rhythmically.
Yeah. There was a bouncer who was a Marine who immediately recognized what they were.
Right. Right. And just it's the idea of non-combatants, people having a good time and then suddenly it turning into a nightmare.
Yeah. A bloodbath.
Yeah, a bloodbath.
Thanks to a guy who is using a weapon that is supposed to be used on a battlefield.
That's right. There were two failures of law enforcement here. One of which being the FBI removing this guy from the terrorism watch list. And then the congressional Republicans for making sure that anyone else who's on the terrorist watch list can continue to buy guns.
Yeah,
as many as they want.
And let's face it, I'm gonna throw in with this. I won't make a decision yet as to whether or not she should be charged. I'm kind of thinking that she might. The wife, you've heard about this.
Oh
right?
yeah. Well, she knew that it was gonna happen. She was trying to talk him down.
She tried to talk him out of it.
And she didn't bother.
No. You don't try to talk him out of it. If you can't, you know, you say, don't do this. The second he says, I'm going to, that's when you make a phone call to police. Otherwise, the deaths of these people are at least partially on your head.
And there were all kinds of warning signs with this guy. He was apparently on steroids. That was one of the reports that I was reading today. Obviously had some issues psychologically, probably separate from the steroids, but the steroids always exasperate everything. And then the guy's dad was a nutbag. So he was, surrounded by people who believed some of the crazy. He bought the firearm from a card carrying Fox News, Trump, Obama hater, radical conspiracy theory guy at the gun store. You know, it's like he's surrounded by, you know, again, we talk about and we joke about the bubble a lot. But this was a guy who was firmly ensconced inside that bubble and maybe not just one bubble. You know, and that's the danger when you're only getting information from radical people. What a shocker when that person turns out to be radical himself. And I'm not even just talking about a connection to ISIS or terrorism or whatever. I'm just talking about the motivation to say, you know what, I'm going to shoot 49 people, kill them, and then shoot another 53 people and wound them. That's coming from someone who had the predisposition to do something like this and then had the resources to carry it out. Bought the guns within 12 days. Bought the AR-15, bought the handgun within, a couple of days of actually doing the shooting.
Yeah.
After he had been removed from the terrorist watch list. And it didn't even matter, because if he would been on the terrorist watch list, he still would have been able to buy those firearms. I wouldn't be surprised if the guy would have, the gun store owner would have sold them the firearms under the table or something like that, based on what I read about this guy, the gun shop owner today. Just that.
Yeah,
okay,
I've had some dealings with. I don't want to throw them all into the same pile and generalize, but I have had dealings with Florida gun shop owners before, and I will only say that from my personal experience. It's been really fascinating to have a conversation with somebody who seems completely normal, and then out of nowhere, they say something completely fucking crazy.
That's right.
Completely paranoid and just total whack job stuff. Yeah. All of a sudden, they go from zero to Alex Jones in like a split second.
Oh, yeah. And all you have to do is just even tangentially mention Obama. And they
I didn't even do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's another argument that I've been confronting, and the gun store owner guy kind of reminded me of it, because, you hear about this a lot in social media from trolls and pro-gun hobbyists and whoever, and I like to call them hobbyists now, because it's like a hobby that they've got a constitutional amendment for these days. That's what the modern purpose of this thing is for. The argument is that if we ban assault weapons, the criminals will still get them anyway and carry out these shootings. Well, statistically, that's not true. I mean, there's like reams of statistics showing that you ban assault weapons, the rate goes down. On top of that, what you're basically arguing is all laws are irrelevant. Because why have laws if the criminals are just going to do that crap anyway? Why ban? Hey, you know what? Why ban abortion? They're just going to have abortions anyway. You know? Shut the f*** up with this argument. Get some new arguments or give up. We've been held hostage, and many of us have been killed as a consequence of these stupid, myopic, idiotic, moronic, nearsighted pro-gun arguments. Yeah. Enough is enough. And I hope, and I promise we're going to play at this segment. We got to take one last break, and when we come back, Gretchen Carlson with I couldn't believe on Fox News Channel, I kept expecting lightning to shoot out of the lighting truss and hit her in the head and end the segment. One last break. We'll come back with the Gretchen Carlson audio right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
The Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
And I'm working on an idea for a piece, either for Salon or the Daily Badger. I'm not sure which of them to go in. But basically continuing on with my Trump as Nixon narrative. And I was just thinking the other day, can you imagine Donald Trump sitting behind the Resolute desk in the Oval Office when the Cuban Missile Crisis occurred? No. I mean, to me, that's got to be the litmus test, really, for judging a would-be president's temperament, their pressure under fire, their ability to make decisions that are rational and not at all knee-jerk. And when I think of Donald Trump, I think of a guy who would have led us directly into a nuclear war with the Soviet Union in 1962.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, that's an extreme example. I mean, how often are we going to have a Cuban Missile Crisis? But it's an interesting scenario to play with in terms of superimposing Donald Trump into the JFK role. Then imagine just Donald Trump sitting in the Oval Office when Orlando happened. How Donald Trump would have reacted to that beyond just having Twitter at his disposal. And this is kind of something that Hillary Clinton hit upon in her address last week about where she basically ran through every terrible thing that Donald Trump has said. Imagine Donald Trump reacting to this. Who is he going to bomb first? At this point, we would have been talking about things like sorties and Hellfire missiles and just all the things that you would typically assume that Donald Trump would unleash in the response to not even not just the shooting, but a massacre of historic proportions.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine Donald Trump responding to that. Just something that I was thinking about during the break. Okay, now Gretchen Carlson, every once in a while, you know, Fox News kind of shocks me. And it's usually Shepard Smith who says something that's like, I just want to stand up and applaud.
Right.
This time it was Gretchen Carlson. And without any further ado, here's what Gretchen Carlson said today on the air. Wasn't just something that was for the internet only. This is on the air about an assault weapons ban.
Time now for my take. Every time we have a mass shooting, we talk about guns, right? Yes, the Orlando massacre was terror. But there's no doubt that Omar Mateen was able to kill so many people because he was firing an AR-15, a military-style assault weapon. A weapon easier to buy in the state of Florida than buying a handgun. Florida sets a 3-day waiting period for purchasing handguns, but the state mandates no waiting period for any gun that requires two hands to hold. President Obama and gun control advocates have repeatedly called for reinstating the federal ban on semi-automatic assault weapons that expired in 2004. Congress has said no. So what do you think? A recent Quinnipiac poll shows 58% of you support banning the sale of assault-style weapons. So here's my question today. Do we need AR-15s to hunt and kill deer? Do we need them to protect our families? Yes, I'm in favor of people being able to carry. I think some of these mass shootings would have been less deadly if that were the case. But I'm also with the majority today, taking a stand. Can't we hold true the sanctity of the Second Amendment while still having common sense? And that brings us to our question of the day. Should Congress reinstate the assault weapons ban? I know a lot of you aren't agree with me. That's fine. That's what makes America great. Look, you don't. 89% of you say no. 11% say yes. See, tweet me at Gretchen Carlson. Use the hashtag #TheRealStory.
All right, yeah. You got the idea.
And that brings us to our question of the day. Should I immediately kill myself?
No.
Yes. 99% of you say yes, I should. That's 99%
right.
Of Fox viewers say that I should kill myself.
Well, this just goes to show you how completely...
Am I a commie whore?
Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's like the Ed Schultz style polling is really convincing. It's really accurate metric there.
That's our big question tonight. Should every single Mexican be thrown into the fires of Gehenna? 99% of you say yes.
1% of you say no. But no, I mean, it shows you how out of touch Fox News Channel viewers are. 58% of Americans, just in general, of Americans, support an assault weapons ban. But 89% of Fox News Channel viewers are against it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how in line with most Americans. That's the bubble illustrated completely.
Yeah.
That is the bubble. It's right there.
There's the bubble.
Yep. 58% say, yeah, we should have an assault weapons ban because who effing needs them? And then, but 89% of the Fox News people say, no.
Not freedom.
Yeah.
It's not about needing him. You don't need it. It's freedom.
About freedom. That's right.
You can have it.
I love how Gretchen Carlson has to pander in the middle of it by saying, yeah, I think you should be allowed to carry them. I don't even know what that means. I support an assault weapons ban, but you should be allowed to carry them. Really? That didn't make any sense whatsoever. So I guess it's not all, you know, a pile of roses. But
She was probably talking about concealed carry.
Yeah, well, maybe. But I don't know what concealed carry of what?
Carrying a handgun.
Oh, okay, I guess. That would make a little more sense. Although, you know, I'm so accustomed to Fox News Channel, and especially the former, you know, Fox and Friends co-host not making sense whatsoever. But yeah, a great illustration of just how completely out of touch and how ensconced in that bubble the Fox News Channel people are. All right, so, of course, there's Alex Jones, who said Orlando was a false flag. As always. All part of the script. All a false flag. And I just remember, I hadn't really heard Alex Jones right after 9/11. I can only imagine listening to Alex Jones' show right after 9/11. But again, this is further illustrative of the fact that if Al Gore had been president after 9/11, he would have been impeached. If there had been a 9/11 style attack on Barack Obama's watch, he would have just been impeached. There would have been a lynch mob gathered outside the White House to take care of business themselves. And that's exactly what would have happened. Of course, you know, after this event, the first instinct of the presidential candidate, the Republican presidential candidate, was to blame Barack Obama for all of it. That was his first instinct. And then everyone else lining up. Why is Obama so weak on terrorism? That's what drives me crazy. Because all I hear about when I go to places like The Intercept is how much of a, you know, baby-killing, bloodthirsty terrorist murderer, you know, whatever you would call it, killer of brown people that Barack Obama is.
Yeah, which is why I don't take anything that The Intercept says seriously. The Intercept sucks.
Right. And then
if you can't see the difference between someone like Barack Obama and basically his adversaries in the United States government, you don't deserve to be sitting at the big kids table.
That's right. So I don't know. It's hard for me to go fully out on a limb and say something is going to happen. But I feel like after hearing someone on Fox News Channel, who I never expected to say anything about an assault weapons ban, talking about an assault weapons ban in a favorable light, and then seeing how the Democrats behaved in Congress, specifically in the House of Representatives this morning, on the floor. It wasn't just something that happened on the front steps of the Capitol. This is something that happened during floor proceedings with Paul Ryan presiding as Speaker of the House. So there was that, too. But then, you know what? I really hope there's a follow-through. Because if there's no follow-through after this, we go back to the concluding line of this script, as Stephen Colbert referred to it, which is that nothing happened anyway. Everyone forgot about it. We changed our profile pictures back to the way they normally are and moved on. And then no one cared. And then we say, well, what does it take? How many people have to die? What kinds of people have to die? Children, members of the LGBT community, who has to be killed here? African-Americans, people waiting at Planned Parenthood, people at a movie theater, a sitting United States member of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Who? What? What is required here? And is it that difficult to, knowing the arguments, is it that difficult to get all on the same page to suggest that, you know what, this goddamn firearm, the AR-15, is not a toy. It's not something that's written into scripture, giving you an unalienable right to possess in your hands as many of them as you want, even the ones that are modified to spray bullets in a fully automatic way.
Yeah.
You do not have a constitutional right to own those things. I don't care what you say, what argument you drag out of the dustbin of your ridiculous NRA bumper stickers. You're just fiddling while people are dying. And how many more have to occur before we start to say, yeah, you know what? This is getting insane. There's too many people. Too many people. For something for ownership of a consumer product, for ownership of a retail, for something you go into the store and you buy, and the company selling it to you makes a profit on that. That is what we're talking about here. Whereas nothing else, no other product in the world is protected in the Constitution. And the question is, should it continue to be? And it can't possibly be. It is just, you know, I feel like if nothing happens now, I don't know when it will, because when it happens again, it's going to get to the point where it's the boy who cried wolf. It's going to get so commonplace that no one's going to have this conversation anymore, unless it is torturously extreme. All right, so that is, let's start to wrap up the show here. All right, so coming up in the postmortem show, we're going to talk about how the Republicans just don't know how the hell to respond to Donald Trump.
No.
another piece you wrote in the Daily Banter today. And it's not just specifically about Orlando. It's just they're just so bent over backwards. They don't know how the hell to react to anything he's saying anymore, which again leads me to believe, and again, this is becoming more and more of a real thing inside my head, at least in terms of how much I buy into it, that Donald Trump just doesn't want to be president.
There is that part of me that really does believe that. Somebody wrote a really great piece for Real Clear Politics a couple of days ago that sort of, you know, put that out there. Right. That said that, you know, he's essentially doing everything he can to throw this election.
Yep. And if he's not trying to throw the election, he's doing some experiment to see if he can win by just being the world's biggest clown shoe wearing jagoff. It's like, I don't know, it's something out of a movie. It seems completely implausible that this guy has any chance whatsoever of winning. And I hate to put it in those terms, because we don't want to get happy. Crazier things have happened.
No, absolutely.
As much as Donald Trump may be advancing forward, or Donald Trump may be losing in the polls, now by a margin of, what, 12 points?
Yeah.
As much as that is appealing and something that we should smile about, the fact is that he's still the Republican nominee, and it's still ultimately, in November, a 50-50 shot that this guy could get it.
But you know the Republicans are absolutely terrified right now.
Yeah.
They're looking at that poll today, and they are themselves.
Yeah, and they should be. They should be, because they've nominated a clown.
Yeah.
They've nominated a guy has no business being out there. All right, the postmortem show is next. Sign up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobsesca.com. We'll see you over there. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.